Harsh, I just wanted to do a quick follow-up question on the, you know, centralized cooling aspect. Do you have any figures, like, you know, how much saving of both commercial savings, so cost savings as well as, you know, emission savings, could be achieved through centralized cooling?
Absolutely.
Do you have any benchmarks?
Yeah, we have numbers around that. And, you know, when I talked about our district cooling operations in Singapore, to put this in context, we with plants, the district cooling plants that are operating today and the ones that are, you know, going through the development process right now, we have roughly about 170,000 refrigerant tons in Singapore in terms of operating capability. This equates to about 5 or 6 district cooling plants, including the Marina Bay district cooling plant. 80 to 90% of our built environment in Singapore is brownfield today.
Yeah.
And I think about roughly 40 to 50% of the buildings that are being built today will still be in existence in 2050 when we want to be carbon neutral.
Yeah.
So energy efficiency is going to be a very important aspect of how we want to deliver that carbon neutral goal that Singapore aspires to get to. And so in Tampines Central, we have now connected 7 buildings that have been around for about roughly 20 years on average. We are going to interconnect them and create the first of its kind brownfield district cooling network, right?
Yeah.
In Tengah, we have got the largest residential scale centralized cooling system. Yeah. All of this added up gets us to about 170,000 tons. 170,000 tons is equal to about roughly 160,000 tons of CO2 abatement per year.
Okay,
this is fairly massive on an annual basis. And if I were to translate that, this is about roughly 5% energy savings of all the households in Singapore per year.
It is quite,
and it's just from district cooling across these 5 or 6 projects,
yeah.
Right? And then when we talk about commercial viability, and the reason why I went around in a roundabout way to get to this point is because we have to look at commercial viability for a greenfield space, like Marina Bay was all greenfield, we built it up ground up. ST Microelectronics is going to see a district cooling plant that's going to be built ground up as well, and it's greenfield in that sense. But Tampines is brownfield, and Tengah is residential. So what does, you know, cost savings look like from a perspective of, you know, different stakeholders? To households in Tengah, and to existing building owners in Tampines, and new buildings that are being built or, you know, redeveloped in the Marina Bay area. In Tengah, for residents, we are aiming to give them about 20 to 30% in terms of cost savings. This is what it's going to look like when we deploy something that is in a more centralized fashion. It helps us magnify the benefits of system-level thinking, which is important, and those benefits get translated to about 20 to 30%. For Tampines, for brownfield, this was pretty exciting. We're looking at anywhere between 15 to 25% in cost savings. And in Marina Bay, we're looking at about 30 to 40% on the top end, right? So it is quite exciting.
Quite tangible.
It is quite important. And especially since cooling in commercial buildings is about, you know, anywhere between 40 to 60% of your energy consumption.
Yeah.
So when you're able to centralize, you're giving them better benefits from not just a cost savings perspective, but you're also giving them benefits of economies of scale.
Yeah. How important do you know, it's maybe a question to both of you, how important do you see the ability of, you know, capturing data, you know, throughout our environment, throughout our activities, and, you know, reporting back on that and making this available? I know, Harsha, you're working on the Tengah project. You know, the data aspect has been a very center point of the design of the Tengah, you know, project from the beginning. And I know you've been the project manager for that as well. So can you talk a little bit on
the
data aspect?
You know, in Aquinix, we have something called the Green Power Report, right?
Yeah.
And that's a certificate that we can provide to our customers where they can use that certificate to actually offset the carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly the way we create this power report is through data that we collect and how we offset that with our renewable racks, etc. So in Singapore, we're 100% renewable. You know, so those are the things that we are doing that not just focus on Aquinix alone, but also how it benefits our customers.
The value chain to the...
Correct,
yeah.
Yes.
Can you share, like, how many customers are taking this up, the green?
You know, this is a really good question. I think initially the uptake was low, but I think since the whole awareness in Singapore has been so heightened,
an awakening, right?
Yes,
yeah.
I think Literally every customer that is aware that has it, they've been requesting for it. Yeah.
Sustainable energy solutions perspective, at least, data is absolutely important for us. We use data in almost all our decision-making processes today, right? And I'll just give you a couple of examples. One is we think the whole sustainability and awareness thing needs to start at the household level, right?
Yeah.
So you may be familiar, we have the SB app, which started off as a utilities app, and it was just an app where you get into monitor your home energy consumption, water consumption, and you pay your bills and you move on with life. But that's sort of pivoted, and it's really become a green / sustainability app today, which gives you a very different perspective of what a clean or green lifestyle could look like, right? So everything from not just monitoring your home energy consumption, but participating in campaigns and programs, which means that you need to be efficient on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. And with that improved efficiency, you get rewarded, and those rewards can then be exchanged for, you know, and so on, right? So they're complete programs.
So basically gamified the...
Absolutely right. And we didn't think that this was going to be one that's going to see a massive take-up, but... I guess, thankfully for COVID, you wouldn't hear anyone saying this that often.
Yeah.
But everyone is at home, and they started looking at what their home energy consumption was going to look like. And then they looked at some of the programs that we had in place. They started participating in it, and it really started driving an awareness, to Ime's point, right?
Data is the new currency. So, and data is not just focuses on driving energy efficiency, and clearly in the same vein as well, we do have piloting intelligent power monitoring system where we are connecting IoTs, and that data basically gets very targeted in terms of where energy levels are higher. So if there's the ability to redirect cooling to the areas where the energy usage is higher, then overall you can reduce your efficiency. Right now, equally. You talk about data in artificial intelligence and data in genomics, right? Physically, if you had to go and mine all that data without a connected digital infrastructure, which is what Platform Equinix enables, that not just cripples research at a speed where data that may need to travel physically further, So I think that they're just all aspects of data, And for me, data is really critical for all the innovations that we are looking in the future.
And
the data basically drives the outcomes. And with the outcomes, it basically helps facilitate better innovations that drive better outcomes, and together, that's how we basically can make the world a better place, right? In terms of some of the issues that we are facing around global warming.
Thank you, both of you. Look, we could continue this conversation for a lot longer, and there's a lot more to be said. We are embarking on a journey, so maybe we can have a similar conversation in a few months' time to see where this innovation has led us. But for now, I want to wrap up the session. And I actually wanted to pick up a phrase that both of you mentioned in your intros, which is purpose. And we talked about the digital economy, but I see us now evolving into the purpose economy, especially in the view of the Gen Z and the next generation, who want to have purpose in their life, in their workplace, in their everyday activities. So thanks for joining the session of Ecosystem TV. I hope it was valuable, and see you in one of the next episodes. Thank you.